Amen. Well, this morning we're going to wrap up our series. And I want to teach us something that maybe, just maybe, you've never really heard taught before. And you've taken for granted. And you've kind of fell into, quite honestly, a bit of tradition if you've been around the church very long. And that is praying in the name of Jesus. This is so important, and it's a huge privilege, and it really unleashes incredible power. And maybe you're not fully aware that it's not just a traditional tag at the end of a prayer. Because I think for some of us that haven't been taught, that don't understand it from Scripture, can just kind of fall into that. Well, we've heard other people pray in Jesus' name, so we pray in Jesus' heavenly name. There's more to it than that, folks. And this morning, I'm going to be drawing heavily on one of the classics in prayer. If you want to get a great book on prayer, it's from Andrew Murray, written in 1885, called With Christ in the School of Prayer. Great book, and I'm going to be bringing several quotes from Andrew to you today. Amazing man of God that he was. First thing, let me just say this to you. Names define, names reveal the character and nature of a person and of God. This is incredibly important as you and I dive into this and begin to think about this. And here's a way to put it, to kind of capsulize it, that you can remember. Name means nature, or name equals nature. So let's say it together. Name means nature. You ready? Name means nature. Let's say it one more time. Name means nature. So here's what I mean about that, and I want to take you to one of the most powerful passages in all of Scripture, found in the Old Testament. It's an incredible passage where Moses, who's walked with God, seen God do miracles, but he wants a further and deeper revelation and understanding of God. He wants to know God. He's got this passionate desire to know God. And he says to the Lord, show yourself to me. I want to know you. And in Exodus chapter 34, verses 5 and 7, it says, 5 through 7, it says, now the Lord descended in the cloud, stood with him there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now I want, this is powerful, this is important. You got to get a hold of this. Moses is saying, God, I want to know you. I want to know you better. I want to know you deeper. First thing that God does is he proclaims his name. Because again, remember, name means what? Name means nature. Name equals nature. So he proclaims, the Lord proclaims the name of the Lord. By the way, if you will go back to the beginning of our series, you'll remember that the first word used in the book of Genesis for the word prayer, men began to call out on the name of the Lord. It was the word I taught you, korah, and it means to accost. And this is the very word that the Lord is using about proclaiming his own name. The Lord korahed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed the Lord. Now, by the way, if you're looking in your Bibles, this is the capitalized, all caps, L-O-R-D, which always represents that holy, unspeakable name of God that we transliterate Yahweh or Y-H-V-H. It's that divine tetragram. There's lots that we've taught about that before, but this is the I am that I am, the Lord God. He repeats it. It's powerful. Merciful. Now he begins to share his nature. He shared his name, now he's sharing his nature. Because his name and his nature are synonymous. Name means nature. The Lord, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. The Lord proclaims his own name, that holy, unspeakable name of God. For you to understand me, God is saying, you have to understand my name, because my name represents my nature. It's who I am. And I am that I am. He proclaims the name, then he reveals the nature. Eternal, self-existent, all-sufficient one who's gracious, merciful, long-suffering, abounding in all these good things. Now let me move over to the New Testament. Let's take a look there. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And she, talking about Mary, will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Jesus. In the transliteration, Yeshua. Yeshua. Jesus. Because he will save his people from their sins. The word save, by the way, in the Greek is the word sozo. It's a comprehensive thing. It means really the restoration, the complete restoration of a person who's been broken by sin and sin's many effects. It's not just salvation from sin. It's also healing, deliverance, wholeness in the Lord. You'll call him Jesus because he's going to bring wholeness, salvation to his people from their sins and the effect of sin. Funny example of how name and nature, okay, just a quick little funny, you know, aside here. Remember when Esau was born? Anybody remember that story in the Bible? They looked at him and they were like, boy, that's one hairy dude. So they named him Esau, which meant hairy. We got us a hairy little guy. He's rocking a lot of hair. Let's call him Harry. Can't you just hear that conversation between mom and dad? What do you think we should call him? Harry, of course. Name equals nature. God is gracious. God is loving. He's long-suffering. He's forgiving. Jesus, Yeshua. God is our salvation from sin and all of its effects. The name of Christ. Let's talk about that. It's an expression. This is Andrew Murray. The name of Christ is the expression of everything he has done and everything he is and lives to do as our mediator. The name of Christ. Man, oh man. Let me ask you something this morning as we just kind of dial in and drill down on this powerful and inexhaustible topic of prayer. I mean, you could preach a whole year on prayer and still not cover the depth and the essence of all that prayer is. But are your prayers reflective of who Jesus is and what Jesus does? In essence, when we pray, Father, here's what should be happening, right? I'm asking this in Jesus' name because this is something that Jesus is and something that I know Jesus does. It lines up with the character and the nature of Jesus, who saved people, healed people, delivered people. And I've seen it, God, as I've read your word. I've seen it throughout Scripture, Lord. This is who you've revealed yourself to be. I mean, do you understand? That is the essence of praying in Jesus' name. All right, Jesus came to save us of our sins. What did that mean? So we read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We find out in every one of them, he's healing people. He's opening the eyes of the blind. He's setting the captive free. He's bringing hope and good news. He's bringing salvation and deliverance. So when you pray in Jesus' name, you're praying according to his nature. You're praying those things that he has demonstrated are important to him. You're praying along those lines. And when you pray along those lines, you can pray with confidence. You're not praying something weird and out in left field when you're believing God to heal someone. No, you're praying something that Jesus absolutely confirmed again and again and again in his life. So you go, well, what right do we have, Pastor Jeff, to pray in Jesus' name? I mean, is this something that just developed over time and just became kind of that traditional tag-along, you know? Or is there a biblical right to pray in this name? And I want to give you four this morning. Four reasons that you and I, anytime we pray over someone, should be praying in the powerful and precious name of Jesus. Number one is we have legal union with him. Legal union with him. It's like you have been given the power of attorney. Anybody ever been given power of attorney in the settling of a state or the running of an estate? It literally means you represent that person and their interests, and you have the opportunity to do whatever in their name. You're an empowered representative of that person. You've been given legal authority in Jesus' name. You're an empowered representative of Jesus himself. Let's take a look at this. Luke chapter 10, Jesus has sent out his disciples really on their first mission, and they've just had a wonderful time. Incredible things have happened, and they come back. It says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Did you catch that? This is really important, right? I don't know if you've ever read that part of the New Testament where people who didn't know him, didn't know his nature, didn't really have relationship with him, were just trying to use his name in a flippant way, and it didn't work out so well. But in your name, Lord, we've been commissioned. We are following you with all of our hearts. We are your chosen ones. We are going in your name, representing you and your kingdom, and it's for your glory, and it's for your honor and your praise. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You have that legal union with him. You have relationship with him. You are his, he is yours. There's something wonderful that's happened here when you've come and received that powerful and beautiful and life-changing salvation that he's so willing to give. And now he commissions you and I. Listen, every one of us in this place, we are ministers and missionaries in Jesus' name. We're his representatives, whether you like it or not. You're a minister and a missionary. Wherever God sends you, you're there to represent Jesus. That's your task, your mission. And Jesus gave his followers. He gave that group of 70, he gives to you and I. The power, Greek word is dunamis. It's where we get the word dynamic. It's even where we get the word dynamite. To give you just a sense of the dynamic power that he's given you over demonic forces. But then he's given you something else. He's given you authority. It's the Greek word exousia, authority. It's the legal right to reinforce the kingdom terms, to bring the kingdom into the situation, to bring Jesus' power and presence into the situation. Best example is a police officer, right? A police officer has been commissioned and given the power and the authority to bring about justice in our society, to bring about good and to stop evil, right? So when a police officer comes to a situation or a scene, he not only has a gun, he also has a badge. The gun is the power. You don't want that Glock pointing down at you. But the badge is the authority. I've been given the authority to wear this gun. And not only do I have the authority to wear it, I can take it out and I can use it. And unlike Barney Fife, I got more than one bullet in this chamber, believe me, in this magazine. And I'll do what I have to do to bring about good in this situation right now and to stop evil from advancing. You have power and authority in Jesus' name. Every follower of Jesus has the legal right to use the name of Jesus over the enemy. When we talk about spiritual warfare, this is really what we're talking about. Demons and darkness, listen, are subject to you in the name of Jesus. There's no weapon formed against you that can prosper in the name of Jesus. You can come against any attack of the enemy in the name of Jesus and turn it back. You realize that? You have a legal right and you have the authority of the Lord himself to stand up to the work of the enemy. Here's how Andrew Murray puts it. What does it mean to do a thing in the name of another? It is to come with his power and authority as his representative and substitute. The free use of someone else's name is always a token of great confidence and close union. Someone who gives his name to another stands aside to let that person act for him. Someone who takes the name of another gives up his own as of no value. When I go in the name of another, I deny myself. I take not only his name, but himself and what he is. To use the name of Jesus only insofar, listen, this is so important, only insofar as they yield themselves to live only for the interests and the work of the master. The use of the name always supposes the surrender of our interest to him whom we represent. You ought to take a picture of that one, man. That's a powerful quote right there, folks. That's powerful stuff. The enemy will try to tell you, I know he has tried to tell many of you, who do you think you are? Who in the world do you think you are, praying for somebody, believing for somebody to be healed, believing for somebody to get a job, believing for somebody's finances to turn around, believing for somebody to be set free? Who do you think you are? You're nobody. You're a sinful person. You're broken. Look at all your problems. No, I'm a representative of Jesus, and he's all of that is under his blood. I'm free, and I'm his representative, and I'm here in his name, not my name. This isn't about me. This is about him. This is about what he wants to do in this situation. Let me give you just an Old Testament example. Remember David? When David comes up against Goliath, and you know, there's this unlikely scene of this young teenage boy coming against this 9-plus-foot giant who's a trained warrior. If you go back and reread that, you will not find anywhere where David says, I'm coming at you today. Man, I am ready, and I'm tough, and man, I'm all that. No. David understands. When the Goliath, the enemy, who's a perfect representation of the enemy, right, comes mocking David. Who are you, a dog? He calls him a dog. David says, I'm coming today in the name of the Lord. And he's the one who's going to give me the victory. In fact, I'm going to cut your big fat head off here in a little bit in the name of the Lord. I mean, he's coming in God's name, not his own name. The second right that we have to use the name of Jesus is what we'll call life union with him. Life union with him. As, think about this with me for a minute, as parents and their children have life union, they use the same name. You know, I'm the byproduct of Thomas and Alma Jo Lamont. I, when I was born, I was grafted in. I was a full part of the family. I got to use their name. Can you imagine my parents showing up at my first day of school and, you know, introducing themselves to the principal? Hi, I'm Thomas, and this is my wife, Alma Jo, and this is our son. Yeah, we don't really care what you call him. Just call him whatever, you know. Yeah, we're dropping him off here. He's in your care. Just, you know, you just make sure he gets called to lunch or whatever. But just call him whatever. Yeah, I mean, it's outlandish, right? It's crazy. No, it's more like this. Hi, we're Tom and Alma Jo. And this is our son, Jeff. Jeff Lamont. And we love him. And we're entrusting him to your care. But He's a part of our family. We're going to care for him and protect him. And if you don't treat him right, if you don't care for him correctly, you'll be hearing from us. We'll pull him out of this old school if you don't treat him right. We've been given a name. I'm a Lamont. I have a family name. You come from your family. You have the name, the care, the protection of that family. And I want you to look at Scripture, John 17. Jesus says these words, that they may be one as we are one. We're picking up in the midst of the prayer. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us. He's talking about us, me and you. He's praying for me and you. Aren't you glad Jesus praying for me and you? That the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I've given them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I and them, you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. That's exactly what we're talking about, the life union we have with Jesus. Isn't it powerful? This is union life in Christ. Paul says it really clearly. One of the rare places he says something really clearly, right, in his epistles. But he says it to them. You have this love union. You have this legal union. You have this love union with the Lord. We share union life with God through Christ, a shared life, a spiritual life. Andrew Murray says it like this: oneness of life on earth as in a family gives oneness of name. It's the same with Jesus and the believer. We are one. We have one life and one spirit with him. For this reason, we may proceed in his name. Our power in using that name, whether with God, men, or devils, depends on the measure of our spiritual life union with Christ. Our use of his name rests on the unity of our lives with him. Man, that's powerful. That's powerful. All right, how about another? How about love union with Jesus? So we have legal union, we have life union, and we have a love union with Jesus. How many of you know that the New Testament goes to great lengths to describe that you and I, we're a part of what's called the bride of Christ? And Jesus is the bridegroom. And one day there's going to be this amazing, magnificent wedding supper of the Lamb, where Jesus sits at the head of the table, and it's this union of he and his bride, and it's the most beautiful thing you can imagine. We're the bride of Christ, his beloved bride. Ephesians chapter 5 talks a good bit about this. Paul goes into this thing. He's talking about husbands and wives, but then he's shifting back and forth between a husband and a wife as a couple and Jesus and his bride, the church. And then in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32, he says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church, because we're his bride. And guess what? Long ago, I stood at an altar with this beautiful, groovy woman down here. She had kind of some flowing things on that day, too. It was a wedding dress, though, of course. And we said, I do, to one another. And we made this covenant together before lots of witnesses and before the Lord himself. And this wonderful, beautiful woman who I'm have been glad every day since that she said yes, she took on my name. And that day, she became Tracy Lamont. And every day since, that's been her name, Tracy Lamont. She has every right, legally and lovingly, to use my name, because we have a wonderful love union before the Lord. How about the fourth right? Jesus told us to use his name. Well, that's a pretty simple one. Let's call it liberty. He gave us the liberty to use his name. He encouraged us to use his name. I'm going to show it to you. Three consecutive chapters in the Gospel of John, Jesus says these words, whatever you ask in my name, whatever you ask in my name. That's kind of scary. But I'm going to show you that there's a safeguard built in, and maybe you're already picking up on it. Maybe you picked up on it from some of those quotes. Jesus gave us permission to use his name. John chapter 14. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. John chapter 15. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. John chapter 16. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Jesus gave us, do you see this? Full permission to ask and to pray in his name and to expect to receive when we do so. I mean, really? Well, think about what we've just been talking about. Whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do. Jesus means that promise literally. Christians have sought to limit it because it looked too free. It was hardly safe to trust man so unconditionally. But they do not understand that the phrase, in my name, is its own safeguard. It's a spiritual power which no one can use further than his living and acting in that name allows. You can't ask something in his name that is contrary to his nature and receive it. This is why James says, you know, you've got these all these lustful desires, and you're asking for these things that you know, you're asking amiss. You're not asking according to Jesus' nature. You can't go back and look at his life and say this lines up with his life. This is all about your greed, your consumption, your desire, your lust. This isn't about the advancing of his kingdom, the doing of his will, the bringing of his love and his peace into someone's heart. You're not asking in his name when you're asking for things that are not aligned with his nature. When you ask in his name for you to receive, it has to be in line with his nature. Let's look at the name of Jesus in action. Okay? Powerful stuff. Acts chapter 3. Because the early church, the New Testament church, I mean, they understood, the disciples, they understood how to live out the power of the name of Jesus. They didn't even have a Bible to read except the Old Testament. They just lived it, folks. The early church knew what it meant to preach, to speak, and to pray in Jesus' name. In fact, if you look through the book of Acts, if you study it closely, 31 times they used in some way, shape, kingdom of God on Jesus to bring about the kingdom of God on earth. Acts chapter 3, here it is. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John and Peter, said, look at us. Look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. What's he expecting? He's expecting some money, right? Some cash. But Peter said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give to you. in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by his right hand and he lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Can you give the Lord praise for the power in the name of Jesus? There's no question. There is no question in my mind, hopefully not in yours either, that the early church understood the power and the permission given to them to use the name of Jesus. This miracle happens in the name of Jesus. The man expected cash and he got something much better. Amen? Here's a challenge, though, for us as the church today. We can't necessarily say, right, that we don't have any silver or gold anymore. Sadly enough, as we've prospered, we've oftentimes drifted away from the very power of the gospel, the very power of Jesus' name. We fell prey into doing what we can do in our own power with our own provision, and it ain't much. We build beautiful buildings, but then there's no changed lives to show for it. We've lost sight of the power that is in the name of Jesus, which is so much better than what we can do in our own provision. Amen, church? So what happens after this? Well, the crowds are marveling at this miracle that's happened to this little man that sat every day to what for alms. He wants to make sure to clarify in everybody's heart and mind exactly what's happened here. Look at it with me. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power or our own godliness is somehow we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murder to be granted to you. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, do you see it? Through faith in his name," he says it twice, "has made this man strong whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." What is he saying here, church? He's saying, it's not us. It's not about us. It's not our power. It's not our godliness that made this happen. It is Jesus' name. It is faith in Jesus' name. It is the faith that comes through the name and the nature and the character of Jesus. It's all of Jesus, none of us. It's through faith in his name. He's the source of faith himself, who he is and what he did and what he taught. Name equals what? Nature. So as we end today our little series on prayer, I want to make a proposal to you guys. I'm going to ask you. I'm really going to plead with you. Start using Jesus' name to pray over people who are lost and hurting and broken and in need all around you. And understand you have legal, you have life, you have love union with Jesus himself, combined with his permission to start asking and believing for great things. That request, when you're praying over someone who's in need, that looks like Jesus to me. Make sure it's in alignment with his nature, but step out and pray in his powerful name. Well, what about when it doesn't happen, Pastor Jeff? Let me put it this way. Trust the sovereignty of God. Jesus says, pray and believe. There are times when you do, you will see the miraculous break forth. There may be times when you do that you don't see the answer right away, or you don't see it perhaps at all on this side of the equation. But let me just say this. He never stops being God, and he never stops being good. And we have to leave the results in his hands because he is sovereign. His understanding is far, far above us. But we have to do our part, folks, and trust him regardless of the results. Let me say this. One thing is for sure. If you don't pray in Jesus' name over situations where people need healing and need breakthrough and need to receive something from the Lord and need his salvation, if you don't pray for them in Jesus' name, you will not see the miraculous happen. If you do, you may well see God's power released. So step out, so pray, and leave the results with God himself, because he's good and he can ultimately be trusted in all he does. There's an old saying, no risk, no reward. Your little step of faith may change someone's life for God's glory for all of eternity. His name is worthy of your trust and your faith. Let me show you one last scripture and then we're closing. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him, here it is again, the name which is above how many names? Every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those in earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Can you say amen to that? So here's our challenge today. There's no greater name in all the universe than the name of Jesus. Everything, everyone, everywhere must bow the knee to that name and confess his lordship over everything. So church, here's your commission. Start praying in the powerful name of Jesus with faith, not with empty tradition, and let's see an increase in God's power being released in and through our lives. Amen. Can you give the Lord praise for that? Amen. Would you stand with me? Let's pray. Lord, just as you reminded me earlier in the service that you care about every need of every person here. If you have a need or you need healing or you need a touch from the Lord, just raise your hand, would you? As we close today, I just want to pray over you and your situation, Lord, in the name of Jesus, according to your nature and your character, Lord Jesus, who in those 3 years of your ministry went about healing and doing good and delivering people from the bondage of the enemy, setting captives free. In your name, Lord Jesus, I pray for freedom and deliverance and healing and provision and blessing for everyone that has their hand lifted. Lord, you meet them, you encourage them, you touch them, heal their bodies, heal their broken and wounded spirits. Lord, set them free from any hold of the enemy. And Lord Jesus, in your powerful name, we thank you for it today in Jesus' strong name. Everybody said amen. Let's give the Lord praise. Amen. Come on, give him strong praise. Amen. All right, God bless you. You are dismissed today. Have a wonderful day in the name of the Lord. And let the Lord shine through you. Amen. Make sure you visit the tables, grab a purple sheet, get in a life group or a small group, and we love you guys.